Well, welcome to 20th Street Baptist Church. Good to have you this morning. Well, yesterday, you guys missed it, those at least who couldn't make it. Brother Doug and Brother Todd put on a really good show of making omelets for us. Doug had his little apron and with all the cupcakes, little cupcakes on it. I guess that's his new nickname, Cupcake. But anyway, but they did a really good job. I was impressed, and the omelets were very good. And no, brother, I don't believe anybody got ill from your omelets. Well, we are in the Revelation, and we're going to pick up again, of course, in chapter 6. This is our new sermon series on the seven seals. It's called Jesus Opens the Seven Seals. And we are going to be looking at verses 5 and 6, the third seal, this morning. We've already covered the first and second seal, and now we're picking up with the third. Those messages on the first and second will be on the website here soon. I apologize for not having them up already, but they will be up here soon. So you can listen to those retro, if you like, to catch up. Let's just bow our hearts in prayer. You know, I just feel like, let's just go ahead and pray. Usually I dive in and then I pray. Let's pray. Let's bring the Lord into this. And He's already with us. His Spirit's with us. Let's bow our hearts. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much today for your Son whom you sent to die for our sins. And Father, who rose again the third day and is seated at your right hand, interceding on our behalf. And Father, we just thank you that we have eternal life in Him and Him alone. And Father, we just praise you for your marvelous love, for your grace and your mercy today. Father, we thank you for your revealed truth in the Scripture, the Holy Bible. And Father, we just praise you and thank you for sending your Spirit to comfort us and to indwell us and to help us, Lord, in our growth. And Father, we just pray today that our worship be pleasing to you and acceptable to you. And Lord, we pray this word find its way not just to our minds, but into our hearts and into the practice of life, the Christian life. And Father, we pray these things in your holy precious name, the name of our Son, of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, church, I'm going to go ahead and read the verses, and I'm going to segue up to them. Chapter 6 says, "Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Verse 3, when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, 'Come and see.' Another horse, fiery red, went out. And it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, 'Come and see.' So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, 'A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine.'" Now many of us, we lay our head on the pillow at night, thankful to rise the next morning to a job and a stable market in which to spend our earnings. At least at present, we're thankful for that. Most of us can afford more than a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk, for the most part. As a matter of fact, most of us have diet issues due to the choices available in grocery stores and fast food chains and restaurants around us. I see a lot of heads nodding. Now, Billy Graham, he published a book in 1983 called Approaching Hoofbeats, in which he writes, 60% of us in Europe and America are overweight. We Americans weigh 1 billion pounds too much. We spend an annual $15 billion on diet formulas and $22 billion on cosmetics. Those expenditures alone would be the difference between life and death to those who will starve to death worldwide next year. Now, of course, this was published in 1983, and a lot has changed since then. I don't know so much that anything has improved terribly, but things have changed. You see, it's not so much a problem with food shortage in the world, so much as it is the distribution of food in the world. You know, civilization has come a long way since the invention of mass food production and its grocers. Now, that word grocers or grocer, I looked up. It stems from the root word gross, you know, a gross amount, a whole food, a gross amount. People who sell it in large quantities is what that word derives from, grocer. Now, to have such readily available food is easily taken for granted in today's free market. Walmart, according to BusinessInsider.com in a 2018 article, Walmart is offering its customers a new perk, grocery delivery. The retailer is launching the service, which offers same-day delivery in as little as 3 hours across the U.S. this year. Well, that's a long way from the pioneer days, isn't it? Now, after sin entered the world, God told Adam that in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return, in Genesis 3:19. You know, food is one of the most basic necessities for sustaining life, obviously. Only God knows with certainty what tomorrow's economy will bring, whether feast or famine. Now, John is writing roughly around 95 A.D., the unveiling of Christ, the apocalypse, the revelation, that we know it as. And he's writing roughly around 95 A.D. on the Isle of Patmos, they believe, or else he wrote it later in Ephesus when he was freed in 96 A.D. Domitian had exiled John there. But John writes, what he had seen, the things that are and the things that are to come hereafter. And so we're in that hereafter. And in chapter 6, by chapter 5, Jesus has already taken this scroll, the seven-sealed scroll out of the Father's hand, the Lamb, has taken it because it's a title deed to the earth, if you will. And it also represents the wrath of the Lamb. And only Jesus was qualified and able to loose its seals, to open the seals of this scroll. And so John is writing here, and he gets up to chapter 6, and Jesus has begun to loose or open these seals, and we have come upon seal number 3. And with the opening of the third seal, John is startled to see a black horse and its rider galloping forth into all the earth. And we read it a minute ago, but let's look at it again. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." Now you can just imagine John as he sees these things, as God has revealed them by his angel to John to write down. And of course John is writing, he looked, he saw, he beheld, exclamation mark, in a startling, alarming way of what John is visualizing. And there in verse 5, again, when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." I looked, and behold, a black horse. Black is a symbol of suffering and famine. And no wonder John is just startled by what he's been given to see, what is revealed to him to write. You know, church, in the book of Lamentations, which is believed to have been written by Jeremiah, the prophet, in the book of Lamentations, because of Judah's sin, which resulted in God's judgment on Judea, and Jerusalem in particular, Jeremiah writes 5 laments, or, if you will, funeral poems. That's what Lamentations is. It's basically funeral poems. And these were written after the fall of Jerusalem to Babylon in 586 B.C., almost 600 years prior to Christ. And during the 2-year siege there of the city of Jerusalem, when Babylonians came under Nebuchadnezzar and besieged it that third time in 586 B.C., the city was rife with suffering and starvation, to the point that mothers cooked and ate their own children. That is something terrible to say, something worse to hear, isn't it? And if you turn to Lamentations, let me just read you Jeremiah's poetic description of that time, of the desolation of Jerusalem there in Judea as a result of their sin and idolatry. And even during all of this, they're still crying out to their false gods for help, rather than the one true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You see, their prayers were misaligned, and they were out of focus, and they began to fall into idolatry and worshiping of false gods, and so they suffered judgment at the hand of God. And in Jeremiah recording it, who was God's man in that city, in that area at the time. And in chapter 4, verse 4, just to pick up a little bit, in the degradation of Zion, this is what Jeremiah writes. He said, "The tongue of the infant clings to the roof of its mouth for thirst." I mean, just hear these descriptions. "The tongue of the infant clings to the roof of its mouth for thirst." Chapter 4, verse 4 in Lamentations. "The young children ask for bread, but no one breaks it for them. Those who ate delicacies are desolate in the streets," talking about those who had the luxuries. "Those who ate delicacies are desolate in the streets. Those who were brought up in scarlet embrace ash heaps." Verse 6, "The punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom, which was overthrown in a moment with no hand to help her." And notice it's a lingering suffering here. Verse 7, her nobles or Nazarites were brighter than snow and whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than rubies, like sapphire in their appearance. And then verse 8, now their appearance, and here's kind of that word again, that description of black. Now their appearance is blacker than soot. They go unrecognized in the streets. Their skin clings to their bones. It has become as dry as wood. Those slain by the sword are better off than those who die of hunger, for these pine away, stricken for lack of the fruits of the field. The hands of the compassionate women have cooked their own children. They became food for them in the destruction of the daughter of my people. The Lord, verse 11, the Lord has fulfilled his fury. He has poured out his fierce anger. He kindled a fire in Zion, and it has devoured its foundations. Sin is a terrible thing.
Amen.
A terrible thing, especially when it goes unrepentant.
Amen.
But God is long-suffering, make no mistake. God is loving, God is long-suffering, but God is also holy, and God is just.
Amen.
Now, the terrible blackness of this horse in the Revelation, the terrible blackness of this horse is symbolic of the tribulation period, of the tribulation famine, which follows the red horse and its warfare. Scarcity or deprivation usually follows in the wake of war. And this horse and its rider follow after the red horse, which represented the war. Soldiers, you see, fight and die in warfare. They leave fewer behind to till the fields and tend the crops. War also rapes the land, while armies scavenge and seize food sources. The economy is also greatly affected because of budget redistribution for military production. So food takes a hit, a big hit. And so this rider on the black horse is following after warfare. Famine is often an expression of divine judgment on rebellious mankind. You read it there in a little bit in Lamentations, and Jeremiah speaks of it in chapter 21, verse 5 and 7 through 7. Ezekiel also speaks of famine as an expression of divine judgment from the Lord in Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. But in Joseph's time, however, God used famine to ultimately bring about blessings on Jacob and the tribes of Israel. If we remember in Genesis chapter 41 through 42, when Pharaoh had his dream of the cows and the ears of corn, and Joseph was brought up from the prison to interpret for him, for Pharaoh, and only Joseph had the answer because God had shown it to him. God had given it to him. And Jeremiah told the Pharaoh that God was going to show Pharaoh what he was going to do in the land. And ultimately it brings, you see, Jacob and his sons. Jacob hears of the food that is plentiful down in Egypt during the 7 years of famine when it comes. And he sends his sons there to get some of the food, to take it back to preserve God's chosen people Israel, you see. They were a family at the time, but eventually they're going to come down to Egypt in Joseph's lifetime because Joseph gets elevated to governor, if you will. And then that family, as God had promised Father Abraham all the way back, that family, as God had prophesied, will come out a nation with great wealth and blessing. So sometimes famine, you see, drives men to greater blessing. It depends on where we put our faith. where we put our obedience and trust in those times of scarcity in life. Now in verse 5 of chapter 6 there, the second part, he says, when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. So the rider has in his hand a pair of scales, or balances, if you will. And based on verse 6, which we'll read here in a moment, food is that commodity to be weighed in the balance throughout the earth. Money, at this point, we'll buy about 1/8 the normal quantity of food. And that is suggested by Reynolds Showers in his book, Maranatha. You know, thinking about my own grocery shopping when we go, and over the past several years, you might know, maybe you have noticed, but I have noticed, my wife and I have noticed. You ever notice how prices keep gradually increasing on food while the amount of food in the package decreases?
Yeah.
You ever notice that? Packaging gets smaller. I tell you what, I told her we buy cereal bars sometimes, and they get any smaller, just going to get an empty package with a puff of air in it. You have to just... But that's so true. You see, consumers will notice a price hike faster than they will the lessening of ounces on the package, on the listing on the package. But when food stores are finally spent, inevitably, prices will drastically increase to reflect it. So it's almost like we're just hanging by a string. Just right there on the precipice with our food stores. Now, scarcity of food not only causes prices to increase, but it creates panic and desperation, as we read. That happened in Judea back in Jeremiah's time. It creates panic and desperation. The tribulation famine will be unparalleled in history during that time. That 7-year period, it'll be unparalleled, unlike any other, Jesus tells us. Now in verse 6, we read on in our verses, he says there, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine, the voice says to John. Now, you see, only the barest of necessities will be affordable to the masses in this time, in this age of the tribulation, this 7-year period. Only the barest of necessities will be affordable to the masses. The voice John hears amid the living creatures has been speculated. Of course, it's just mere conjecture, but it's been speculated to be either the voice of God or Christ, possibly. Because in chapter 4, John describes the living creatures as being in the midst and around God's throne in chapter 4, verse 6. But in the midst of the throne is the Lamb. God's on the throne, the Father, and John sees the Lamb there in the midst of the throne as well. And John saw, of course, the Lamb take the sealed scroll from the one sitting on the throne in chapter 5, verse 6 and through 7. So it is Christ, the Lamb of God, who is dispatching these riders, right? He's the one losing these seals because only he has that authorization. Only he has the authority to do so. So it is entirely possible that this voice is Jesus Christ as well. And he's given the description of this famine, what can and can't be harmed or touched. It is his wrath after all. We read that at the end of chapter 6 and verse 17. But if we look at verse 6 here in chapter 6 of the Revelation, the second part of it, he says, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. You see, the denarius was worth about 15 cents to us today, back then. It was equivalent to a day's wage. Denarius, the word, the term, means containing tin. It means containing tin, and was the principal silver coin of the Roman Empire in New Testament times. Jesus' parable of the vineyard laborers, those who were to work the vineyard, you see, in Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 13, that would equate the denarius to a day's pay. That's what he promised those laborers, to work the vineyard in Jesus' parable. And so that's where that might come from. But there are other places to denote that, especially historical records. But food is so scarce that a day's pay will either buy one good mill of precious wheat grain, which is more nourishing, or 3 mills of the cheaper, less nourishing barley grain. which was more of a survival food, more for poverty, if you will, stricken families. Either way, it is being able, you see, it's the being able to only afford a loaf of bread and nothing else during that time. Even the loaf of bread will be a great blessing if you can acquire one in that day and age. Now, in normal times, back then, a denarius might have purchased 16 quarts. But we're told here that only one quart of wheat or three quarts of barley grain are available to the average family, to the average laborer. Now, the passage also says, do not harm the oil and the wine. And this indicates that famine will coexist with luxury. But only the extremely wealthy will be able to afford them, afford the luxuries during that period. Oil in this verse is not referring to crude oil, mind you, but olive oil. That's what he's referring to, which was used for fueling lamps. You see, it provided light in the lamps they had. For fueling lamps, it was for healing the sick and the wounded, actually. You'll read a little bit about that in Luke chapter 10, verse 34, with the Good Samaritan who stopped to heal, to bind the wounds of the person who had been mugged on the road there. And he used oil and wine in the wounds to help heal them. And that's also used, olive oil, it's used for the anointing the head and body at feast for the Jews, you see. And it was also a commercial item, and not for the sustaining of life necessarily, but it was a commodity, if you will. That's what it was. It was something a little more costly. Wine is equivalent to saying the vine. Now, the grapevines, if you will, there on the hills of Judea and other places throughout the world, you know, they take deep root. So it's possible that this famine won't harm them as much. But either way, the voice, which is believed to be possibly Christ, has given that command, do not harm the oil, do not harm the wine or the vine, that is, that produces the wine. So these are items of luxury. So you can kind of see the coexistence between the two. You know, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 7 and 8, Jesus refers to these times as the beginning of birth pangs or sorrows for Israel, and not just Israel, but for the world. You know, materialism provides a false security, doesn't it, church?
Amen.
So make no mistake here. The wealthy do not have the advantage in this scenario. With the opening of the sixth seal, John records in chapter 6 through 15 and 17, there are verses 15 through 17 in the same chapter, John records this, he says, and the kings of the earth, listen to the description, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. And then it says, for the great day of his wrath has come. And who is able to stand? Who is able to stand? So the wealth won't help you any. You see, the rich men, the mighty men, the great men, all of them tried to hide themselves from the face of the living God. Now, you see, many make the mistake of taking comfort in wealth or in stuff, right? How much stuff we have. You know, a lot of us here in our country today have become hoarders. I'm somewhat guilty of that. It's hard to just throw out things or discard things that have been sitting somewhere in storage forever and just rotting away and collecting dust. There's always that mentality, oh, well, I might need that one day, right? But the problem is we keep accruing more and more stuff. Now, we do well to recall Jesus' parable of the rich fool, don't we? In Luke chapter 12, verse 15 through 21. And I'm going to share that parable with you this morning, just to kind of go along with some practical teaching, along with the study of the seals and the revelation. But let's look at chapter 12, verse 15 through 21, because we're talking about luxury. We're talking about wealth in the midst of famine. Now, this is unlike any other famine. Don't make any mistake. This is not like today. This is a future time of apocalyptic judgment. But here in Luke chapter 12, speaking of wealth and the rich fool, let's look at verse 13. Let's just pick up there. He says, then one from the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Verse 14, Luke chapter 12. But he said, that is Jesus said to him, Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And he said to them, as Jesus said to them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Verse 16, he says, Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.
Amen.
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 Now, back to the revelation and our situation with the tribulation and the opening of the seven seals with seal number 3. The famine will not be restricted, you see, to developing countries or specific regions, but will strike the whole earth, the entire earth. And with famine comes malnutrition and disease and ultimately death. As we read back in the Lamentations, you can just picture that happening around the globe. However, food will be rationed to the point a person will even have to take the mark of allegiance to the Antichrist in order to buy or sell it. Revelation 13, verse 16 and 18 says, He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, John writes. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Now, church, despite mankind's utopian delusion that the world will improve by achieving great strides in science, medicine, education, invention, social globalism, etc. In other words, the global citizenry that's taking place. Jesus warns that a time of trouble looms on the horizon unlike any the world has ever experienced or ever will experience. Matthew 24, verse 21. It is the great day of the Lord's wrath and judgment at this point. There is good news, however, which is the saving gospel of Jesus Christ and a relationship with Him. The Lord said that He is the bread of life. In John chapter 6, verse 35, one of His 7 emphatic I am statements, I am the bread of life. It says, And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst.
Amen.
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 Don't you love that?
Yes.
That's His promise to you if you're a believer today. If you put your trust in Him and your faith in Him, you've been born again. And you are saved from above and you have that promise of eternal life. That's His promise to you. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst.
Amen.
Not ever, never whatsoever. Now if you're a Christian listening to this message this morning, then you have the blessed hope. The blessed hope spoken of by the Apostle Paul to Titus. For the grace of God, he writes, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. That is the person Jesus Christ, right? For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live how? Well, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Verse 13, looking for what? What do we look for as believers? Looking for the blessed hope. And what is that blessed hope? The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
And then he says further, he says, the Savior Jesus Christ who gave himself for us because he loves you that much. He was willing to die on a cross for you. To shed his blood, to cleanse you of your sin. He who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people.
Amen.
Zealous for good works. And you can read that in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. You know, church, in what and in whom do you put your hope? Is your faith in Jesus' words or in man's achievements? That which only God can provide you or the world offers you? The former, that is God, is eternal, what he offers.
Amen.
The latter, the world, is only temporary.
Amen.
And is passing away.
Amen.
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 Let's all stand and sing.